just welcome you. You're the main thing today. Just welcome you. You're the main thing. You're why we're all here today. We came for you. We didn't come for music. We didn't come for some preacher. We came for you, to camp around you. We welcome you, Holy. Could you just lift up your hearts right now? Just welcome him. Just come in increased measure. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. We want this to be all about you. We center around you this morning. We come and gather around your presence today. We gather around the one who says, come on. We gather around the Father who says, come on, come on. All things are possible. Come on. We're gathering around you, the one who's singing that over us today. We welcome you. Just speak to our hearts today. Speak to our hearts today. Give us ears to hear. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better. Let the joy of the Lord be in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Whew. We came for him, right? Let's not forget that in church culture. We come for him. You know what I have to say today? Gosh, this has been really enjoyable to share the last few weeks with you. And I was thinking how sometimes songs aren't enough and that you just have to talk, you know, and I lead worship every week, but I just, there's this part in my heart that just loves to just share what I hear the Lord saying. And it's good to hear what the Lord is saying, right? And Pastor Gary's going to be back this week, which is so awesome. I missed him. When he leaves, he doesn't call ever or write or text. And I think I said this before, the first couple years he did that, I was kind of hurt, felt rejected. And then I realized he didn't call or write Judy either. And so then I felt a lot better. People are already offended again. It's Brandon and Kayla. And but he's coming back. I think he's back tomorrow or Tuesday, and he'll be back with us this week. And the past 2 weeks, as you know, we've been talking about the two priorities of all of life, right? First commandment, loving God with everything. And the second was, we talked about last week, is loving our neighbor as ourself. And we talked about having a vision for walking in community and oneness and unity together. And the third message that I have today is called First Things First, Part... Yeah, so creative, right? But today I want to talk about fasting and hunger. And tomorrow, as you know, starts the 21-day media fast that we're entering into as a church, right? You all know about it. You're all, I hope, ready to do this. And I'll tell you this real quick. They were supposed to pass this out when we were coming in, but you're going to get it when you're walking out. And there's a couple really cool tools here for this media fast. And this is a daily reading plan. And all of these scriptures, 21 different days for reading, if you choose, if you want to use this tool, of the miracles of Jesus. So as a church, we're gonna focus in our reading time on the miracles of Jesus and just really taking a look at that and just soaking in those. And then there's some important dates on this card as well. Be sure to take one of these from the ushers when you leave. All the Wednesdays in February are going to be devoted to worship and prayer together. We're going to have a little different from how we've done it before, but probably about 20 minutes of teaching on prayer and worship, and then we're going to pray for about 45 minutes, okay? So it's going to be a really good time together. I encourage you, if you don't normally come on Wednesdays, make it if you can. They're going to be really great nights, the 45, and then there's some suggested reading on here as well, which you can see. I want to make one note. There's a mistake here. The book Red Moon Rising actually was written by Pete Grigg, not Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson didn't write everything that we read around here. So, Red Moon Rising. So take a minute to look at this. And if you want this, if you're already on a plan or whatever, continue on where you are. But these are great. Also, there's a little booklet we put together for families with children, that activities and things that you can do since you're not watching TV together, okay? So lots of really great things. Pastor Mark Johnson, and I think Vicky spent a lot of time putting this together. So I encourage you to use it, all right? Amen? Good, 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 good. So for some of you, fasting might be a regular part of your life. I don't, you know, we all come from different backgrounds. For some of you, honestly, this fast might be the first time you've ever really fasted for an extended period of time. But I want to make sure that everyone who joins in on the fast understands the heart of the fast, right? We don't want you just to fast because the church is fasting. We don't want you just to fast because somebody's asking you to fast. We want you to understand why we're fasting. And it would be a mistake to just do it for any lesser reason than really getting the heart of this fast. So I want to clarify and give some context for that today. The next 21 days, this fast is about love. This fast that we're on is about love. It's about desire. And it's about hunger for Jesus. That's what this is about. We're not fasting to motivate God's heart to love us, okay? We're not fasting to get God to pay attention to us. We're fasting to encounter and receive a greater measure of his affection that he already has towards us, right? So we're not doing this fast to move his heart. His heart is already moved for us. His heart is already burning for us. His heart is already in love with you. There's nothing more you could do to get the heart of God turned towards you. This is about getting our hearts turned towards him. Okay? So that's really, really, really important that we understand that. We're not doing this because we're trying to manipulate God or get him to do something. We're actually just getting our hearts aligned with how he already feels about us. Because he's made everything available to us already, right? And so we're just coming into that place of agreement. This is about our hearts being moved, my heart being moved. And what, you know, we talk about this fast, it's not about what we can't do or what we can't look at or what movies we can't watch or what, you know, Facebook or Instagram. It's really, this fast is about what we get to do. I think sometimes people, when they are fasting, they're focused on what they can't do. And the truth is that it's really how we look at this is what we get to do. We get to enjoy God. Amen. We get to enjoy God in a greater measure than we ever have before. Your heart, your spirit, your very being, you get to enjoy God in ways and in measures that are way beyond anything that you have ever experienced before. I've said this over the past couple of weeks that I felt like I heard the Lord wake me up one morning and just said, it's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to grow. It's time to move on. You can't stay where you are anymore. And I heard it for me, but I heard it for us as a body, that it's time to move on. We can't stay where we've been. And this fast is really a part of us corporately moving on and moving ahead, growing, not staying the same. How many want to grow? I know you do. I can see it in your eyes this morning. I can see that hunger. So this is about enjoying God. The Holy Spirit is preparing us as a church for the greatest outpouring that has ever been known. It's one of the things we hold to at Hope, and we believe, and we're in that place of agreement with it. God is going to break out in power in ways that we have never dreamed before, and we want to be a part of it. We want to be a part of it. There's also going to come some of the most intense pressure maybe that we've ever experienced as well. But when we're hidden in him and we're walking with him and we're encountering him, it's going to be okay. And so the Lord is preparing us. And I believe even in this fast that we're being prepared in our hearts. The inside of the cup is being prepared for the greatest outpouring that we've ever seen. I don't know when it's going to come. It could come tomorrow. It could come in 10 days. But it's coming and it's increasing. I don't believe it's even just a one-moment event like, bam, everything changed that day. It's an increasing measure of the presence of God and the Spirit of God that was prophesied by Joel that we are going to be a part of and we are going to walk into. And I don't know about you, but I want my heart and I want my family and I want this body to be prepared for the shaking that's coming, for the pressure that's coming. And the only way to prepare is to enjoy God. The only way to prepare is to be in love with Jesus and put your heart into agreement with how he already feels about you. It's the only thing to do. You don't have to worry. All you have to do is just get before him. I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want my life in any way to be separate from what he's doing. That's a burning in my heart. I don't want a Josh life and then a kingdom life over here. Like, we were made to have it together where there's no separation. And I think even in this next 21 days of this journey that we are going to, the different lives that we lead are going to, they're going to join into one life, and it's one life in Jesus. Enjoying him, enjoying him. So let's take a few minutes and talk about fasting, okay? And if you have your Bibles, Matthew 6. We're going to start with verse 16 and see what Jesus has to say in regards to fasting. He says this, Matthew 6, 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by the Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So Jesus says, the first thing that stands out to me says, when you fast. Not if you fast, when you fast. There's an implication here that fasting is to be a part of our lives, right? When you fast, he says, don't be like the hypocrites who do it for people. Don't do it for to be seen or to be looked at as super spiritual, because none of that even matters. What matters is what's going on the inside of your heart. What matters is what's going on the inside, and the Father who sees everything in secret will reward you. Okay? That's good, right? So Matthew 9, jump over to there. Jesus is talking about fasting again. Verse 14, it says, then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? That's a good question, right? I could see myself being like, why aren't they fasting? I'm fasting. And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skin bursts, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. What we have to understand is that in the culture of this day, for the most part, fasting was connected with mourning. Okay? It was connected with mourning. It was an expression of brokenheartedness and desperation. Usually it was over sin or some danger or some cry for blessing. It was something you did when something was wrong. Okay, that's a context for fasting in this day. But this is not the case for the disciples, right? Do you know why? Because the bridegroom was with them. Jesus was with them. The bridegroom was with them. The disciples of Jesus actually were with the one that they were all longing for, the hope of the nations, the Messiah, the one that nation had been praying for and looking for. And all of a sudden, he is there. So it's like Jesus was saying, I'm here. It's not time to fast. It's too happy. It's too awesome. I'm here.
You don't need to fast now. Like, there's going to come a time when I go to my father and I'm taken away from you. And he says, that's when you'll fast. I read this quote that says, the absence of fasting in the band of disciples was a witness to the presence of God in their midst. The absence of fasting in the disciples of Jesus was a witness to the presence of God in their midst. But Jesus says, a day will come and you will fast. There'll come a time when I return to my Father, and during that time you'll fast. And church, that time for us is right now. We're waiting for the return of Jesus, right? Not just doing nothing. We're entering into the kingdom. We're embracing the kingdom. It's moving forward. We're not just waiting for that blessed day, right? But we are waiting for his appearing. There's a longing in our hearts. We as humans ache for Jesus. We do. We have a groan within us. Every person on the planet groans for the Lord. Whether you realize it or not, you might not be in touch with that. Every person in this room has an ache, has a longing, has a deep desire that God put in you that sometimes you may or may not realize what it's for. Every person on the planet, the people that are in the world that don't know Jesus, they have it just like you. They have the longing within them. Many misunderstand this ache. Many misunderstand the longing, and we chase after lesser loves and misplaced affections and desires that aren't really going to fulfill it, right? But at the end of the day, what we're really longing for is him. That's what that ache is. I'm telling you, if you will come into the realization of that, when you have that longing and you have that ache and you have that burning, I'm lonely, I'm whatever. There's something in you that's longing for more of God. Longing for his return. And I believe what Jesus was saying in regards to fasting in the new and the old wineskin was this. He was making a shift. And it's like he was saying, your fasting isn't going to be the old way anymore. It's not about mourning. It's not about being empty anymore. You have me now. Even when I'm gone, you have me. Are you following what I'm saying here? Even when, like, what you've longed for to come has been fulfilled and I am here, and even when I'm physically not here, I am here through the Spirit. And I'm the hope in you, the hope of the nations in you. Jesus says, so your fasting isn't going to be like before. Your fasting is going to be different. The thing that you've longed for has come, and I'm with you. And church, now we get to fast because we've tasted. Our fasting is about, we've tasted, we've seen that the Lord is good and we want more. That's what this is. It's not about mourning anymore. It's he has come, he is in us, and we want more. And we're not satisfied. And we're not satisfied with what we've had. We want, we live with the possibility that there's more. I'm talking about a fasting that is hunger for his presence, an increased measure of his presence, a burning desire for the fullness of God. Does anybody desire the fullness of God in them? Man, my heart longs for the fullness of God. You might be sitting here and saying, I don't even know what he's talking about. I'm telling you, the Lord, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. He is going to open you up. If these are coming across as just words right now that I'm saying, I just say a simple prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to enter in. Help me to have an encounter with your word right now. Paul says it. He says in Ephesians 3, he says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When we're fasting media this month and we're talking about expanding our hunger for Jesus, we're saying, we're not doing this out of religious exercise. We're saying, I want to encounter the fullness of God. We're saying, I want that. I want a revelation that surpasses knowledge, that I could be filled with the fullness of God, that my capacity would be expanded. Man, that's what this is about. It's when we say, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And or people say terms like God shows up, or we just want God to show up. We, in some sense, we're saying we just really want to show up too. Do you know what I'm saying? The manifest presence of God comes, but your hearts are the things that open it up and welcome it in. That's how this works. And I've dealt with that, you know, struggled with what does this all mean? Because you have people say this or people say that. But I'm telling you, as we open up and our capacity is expanded and the enlargement of our hearts is expanded, there's room for more of the power and the presence of God to be released in our midst. That's what I'm so hungry for. It's not that we haven't tasted. If you know Jesus, you've tasted. It's just that we've tasted and we deeply long to know him for more. It's that heart of David, I want more. We long for more of the presence. We're fasting because we want more of the presence. We want more of the power. Yes, we've tasted. Yes, we've seen, but it's a continual tasting, a continual seeing. David said that, Psalm 34, right? Taste and see that the Lord is good, an expanding of our capacity, more that continual tasting, continual seeing. Family, I believe that we have so much more to see. For real, we have so much more to taste. The pleasures of God forevermore. We have so much more of him to enjoy. As you say no to Facebook, and you say no to Instagram, right? You say no to TV, or you say no to the internet, whatever it is you say no to, there's going to be a giant yes in you. A giant yes to taste. A giant yes to see. A giant yes within you for more. You won't be so stuffed on the other lesser things. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. It's just that there's so much more. And the way that it comes is that you make room for it. That's what you're doing. You're making room. And I just mentioned this. Jesus mentions fasting in Matthew 17. We don't talk a lot about fasting, and so that's why I'm going to kind of hit some of these scriptures just so we have a larger context for it. Matthew 17, you remember the story of the father with the epileptic son? He brought his son to the disciples, but they could not cure him. So Jesus, remember, he rebukes the demon and the boy is delivered instantly. And the disciples asked Jesus, why could we not see him cured? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And then he says this at the very end, verse 21. He says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So Jesus is saying that certain situations, fasting is required. Right? That's all I have to say about that. Just put that in your, somewhere. Here's another Jesus one. I love just reading about Jesus. Jesus fasted, right? Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. That just strikes me so funny. You think? Thank you for stating the obvious, Bible. He was hungry. How many are glad we're not doing a 40-day food fast? Oh, you're all too, you're ready for it. Let's just change it right now. Let's do it. 40 days, no food. Just kidding. And it says in verse 3, it says, and the tempter came to Jesus and said to him, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word that comes from the mouth of God reveals God. It's not just an idea. He's revealing himself through his word. When you read the word, when you hear a prophetic word, it's God revealing himself to you. And we live by every word that comes from the mouth of our Father. You live by every word that comes from the mouth of your Father. That's actually how you live. For those who are born of the Spirit, that's how you live. Did you know that? You thought you lived by bread. You thought you lived by email. You thought you lived by updating your Facebook. Okay, maybe you didn't. You thought you lived by all these other things. You actually live by every word that comes from the mouth of your Father. Or we could say it like this. You live by every word that comes from your Father, or you have a lack of living because the lack of hearing his word. Really, it's kind of like, how much do you want to live? How much do I want to live? Do I really want to live? Do I really want to live? We don't live by the next text, the next email. We don't live by the next episode of Downton Abbey. I've never seen it. I hear the chicks like it. We don't live by the next NFL game, even though, what's that game called that's on tonight? Super Bowl. That was supposed to be a joke. I thought you might laugh at that. But see, whenever I plan something funny, it's never funny. This is, we live by his voice, right? We live by his words. We live and we move and we have our being in him. That's what the sons and daughters of the living God do. That's how those who have been born in the Spirit live. Have you ever noticed that some people experience a much closer intimacy with the Father than others? Have you ever noticed that? Those people that just glow with Jesus, they radiate the presence of God. Do you know what I'm talking about? People that you've come into a contact and you're like, wow, something really awesome is just going on with them. They're just radiating. We know that God doesn't play favorites, right? He doesn't love one child more than another, right? So I've been thinking about this for years, and I want to just suggest to you today that we're the ones that determine the depth of intimacy. We're the ones that determine the depth of closeness that we have with our Father. We're the ones that determine the depth of glory that we walk in. We're the ones that determine the depth and the magnitude of the presence of God on our lives. Because our Father, he says, I've got so much, it'll blow your mind. Come on. Come on in. I made a place for you. All things are possible. Come on in. I want you to walk in this. It's yours. It's a gift. It's free. Come to the table. Eat. Drink. Be merry. I don't know if that was in that, but he wants you to be happy. It's up to you. How much do you want? How much do you want? Everything our heart longs for is found in him. It's just the truth. It's the eternal truth. You were created to enjoy and love and be fulfilled in loving God and enjoying him. He's just saying, let go of those lesser loves. Make room, because I've got this table spread out with everything that your heart actually longs for. You've been barking up this tree and you've been running over here and you've been running over there. But what I really have for you is what you really want. And it's me. He says it to everyone. Do you know that what I'm saying to you right now is the same for the person who's out on the street that's never even heard the name of Jesus? It's the same availability. I don't have any more. God hasn't given me any more love to love him more than he's given you. God hasn't given the most spiritual person in this room, the most person that carries the most of the presence of God, hasn't given that person any more than he's given the person who doesn't even know Jesus yet. That's the truth, guys. We can't look at this in any other way than that. It's all just, how much do you want? How much do you want? How happy do you want your life? How fulfilled do you want your life? How much do you want to enjoy life? Because true enjoyment doesn't come from stuff. True enjoyment comes from really being alive. When you're really alive, it doesn't matter the circumstances. Money, no money. I mean, having money is better than having no money. I mean, it makes things a little easier. I'll be taking up an offering for myself after the service. But that's a joke. We look at the lives of the disciples, there's varying levels of intimacy among them. I need to hurry up. Jesus chose 70, right? He sent them out two by two to minister. He chose the 12 to be with them, to learn his ways. And then there were the three that became really close, right? And those three, they experienced and they witnessed things that no one else did. They experienced the raising of Jairus' daughter, right? Remember, from the dead? They were allowed to behold the glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, those three did. They were with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus loved all 12. Jesus loved all 70. He loved them all. He gave his life for all of them. But there were those three that pressed in. And then there was John. There was John, the one who referred to himself. I love that. He referred to himself as the disciple that loved Jesus. Well, I'm the follower that loves Jesus. Can you imagine if we walked around like that? And remember, he was the one that took advantage to lean on the chest of Jesus, right? And it was love and desire that drew John into that place of intimacy with Jesus that seemed even more than the other disciples did, right? Some of you say, well, that's kind of weird that he was leaning his head on the chest of Jesus. Jesus was here, I'd be down there getting my head on his chest. I'd want to hear his heartbeat. If I really understood who he was, I would want to be there with my head on his chest. And John got that. He got that. I read this story the other day about a woman who is meditating on that image of John with his head on the chest of Jesus, which is in John 13. And she said, she was talking to the Lord. She just asked the Lord as she was meditating on that picture. She said, it just doesn't seem fair that John was the only disciple who got to lean on the chest, on your chest, and hear your holy heartbeat. And she felt like the Lord spoke back to her and just said, John was the only one who wanted to. Now, I'm not making a doctrine out of that. That's not scripture, but I think there's really something to that. John was the only one who wanted to. And I believe today that the Lord is looking for those who want to. Who want to. Who aren't just doing things out of routine or form, but he's looking for those who want to. Him. Isn't this all about heart? This fast is all about heart. It's about those who want to. How far do you want to go? Because you can go as far as you want. No, seriously, if you hear anything today, hear that. You can go as far as you want. Or you can live just Springfield church culture life. I'm not trying to upset anyone. You're looking kind of angry. I'm seeing a few stones. I feel like I hear him saying, I want you to want me. Come as close as you want. But I give you a choice. You can stay where you are, or you can come close. You can stay hanging around me, or you can come and you can put your head on my chest. Jesus preaches his most famous sermon, and it says this in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. And the very first thing that Jesus says in that sermon is he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And poor in spirit, for years I didn't really fully understand it. I think I've grown to understand it. Poor in spirit is not a place of self-hatred, self-loathing, discouragement, self-judgment. Poor in spirit are those who recognize their need. The poor in spirit are those who recognize that they need Jesus. The poor in spirit are the ones who are not the strong ones that can make it happen and keep going and keep doing and provide for themselves. The poor in spirit are the ones who say, I don't have all the answers. I need him. The poor in spirit are the ones that say, I'm not penning my own course. I don't just go about my own day with whatever I want to do. The poor in spirit are the ones that say, I need to hear the voice of my Father because it's my bread. The poor in spirit are the ones that recognize their need for their Father in heaven. The ones who say, I'm not independent, I'm actually dependent. And my strength comes from my dependency. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A little further down, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And I heard somebody say this last week. They said it like this. The merciful, he says, will receive mercy, but the poor in spirit get the whole kingdom. That wasn't my quote. I heard it. I'm not taking credit. But that's so powerful. The merciful receive mercy. The poor in spirit, they get the whole kingdom. Why do they get the whole kingdom? Because they recognize that they need Jesus. We need him. In the present, we need him. In the future, we need him. And he loves it when we need him, right? We fast because we recognize we need him. We fast because we know there's more. We fast because we say, open my heart up, God. I want all that you have. We're the sons and daughters of the living God, and we need our Father. We need him. We need him. It's a place of needing, not in a needy, you know, kind of negative way, but in a like, we must have more. I don't ever want to be a person who goes about my life with or with God and I don't even know it. I don't want to be a church that operates, the machinery is operating and we can keep going and God wasn't even there. We want to be a place that every day we need and we recognize our need. I recently read this story, I'm going to close with this, about an old Dutch professor. And he tells a story about growing up in a really large family. And he was telling his class this story, and he said, I'm one of 13 children. He says, one day when I was a child playing in the street of our hometown in Holland, I got thirsty, and I came into the pantry of our house for a glass of water. He says, it was around noon and my father had just come home from work to have lunch. He was sitting at the kitchen table having a glass of water with a neighbor. A door separated the kitchen from the pantry and my father didn't know that I was there. Can you picture this? The neighbor said to my father, Joe, there's something I've wanted to ask you for a long time. But if it's too personal, just forget I asked. What's your question? The neighbor says, well, you have 13 children. Out of all of them, is there one that is your favorite? One that you love more than all the others? The professor continued telling the story. I had my ear pressed against the door, hoping against hope it was me. You imagine that? I hope it's me. I could imagine myself doing that. I'm an only child, so it wouldn't really apply, but it was me. It was definitely me. I want to distract you from the story. Come back. Come back to it. So the father says, that's easy. Sure, there's one I love more than all the others. That's Mary, the 12-year-old. She just got braces on her teeth and feels so awkward and embarrassed that she won't go out of the house anymore. Oh, but you asked about my favorite. That's my 23-year-old Peter. His fiance just broke their engagement and he's desolate. But the one I really love the most is little Michael. He's totally uncoordinated and terrible in any sport he tries to play. That was me. The other kids on the street make fun of him. But of course, the apple of my eye is Susan. Only 24, living in her own apartment and developing a drinking problem. I cry for Susan. But I guess of all the kids, my father went on mentioning each of his 13 children by name. The professor, he ended his story by saying, what I learned was that the one my father loved most was the one who needed him most at the time. And that's the way the Father of Jesus is. He loves those who need him most, who rely on him, who depend on him and trust him in everything. Church, as we enter into this fast, don't turn from him in your weakness because you think you're not holy enough. Don't turn from him in your failure. Turn to him. He loves the hunger. He's a father. Don't turn from him with your drinking problem. Turn to him. Recognize your need and bring it to him. Don't turn from him because you're a mess. Maybe your finances are in a mess. Maybe your marriage is in a mess. Maybe whatever the thing might be, don't turn from him. Come to him. You're his favorite when you need him the most. Blessed are you, happy are you when you live in the reality of your need for him. Would you stand with me this morning? Does that touch your heart today? The trouble with religion is that we always think that everybody else is okay. We're the ones that aren't okay. But what the Father is looking for is those who say, I need you. The next 21 days is really just a response to what God has initiated. He's calling us deeper. He's calling us to grow. He's calling us to turn to him with everything because it's what we really long for anyways. This fast is about increasing our capacity to love Jesus more, increasing our capacity to love those around us, to hunger for more. And we're silencing some of the other noises so that we can just hear and enjoy God. Amen? Would you grab the hand of somebody this morning? I didn't mean to go this late. We have to get out of this room. I wanted to have some good ministry time together. But could we just lift up our voices right now and just begin to bless the Lord? Could you just do that? Just begin to bless him. Just begin to love him. Just lift up your voices in this room. We thank you that you love us in our weakness. We thank you that you love us in our need. We love you. We bless your name, God. Let hunger rise up in this house. Let desire rise up for Jesus in this place. Let fire and burning in our spirits rise up in this place as we fast over the next 21 days. And we say, God, enlarge our capacity for you. Enlarge our hearts for you. Increase the burning in our hearts for you. We won't turn away in our weakness. We'll turn to you in our weakness. We'll move towards you in our failings, in our messes. We'll turn towards you, God. Burn in our hearts, Father. Church, just keep lifting your voice for a minute. He's hearing it. He's consuming your praise right now. I just see many of you going from one place to another in the next few days even. In him. It's going to be a quick change. You're opening yourself. I see it in the spirit. Quick change. You're going from one man to another man. One woman to another woman. Because you've simply just said yes. You've got a yes in you for him. You've got a yes in your spirit for him. God, we say we have a yes for you. A yes to obedience, a yes to righteousness, a yes even in our mistakes and our failings, God. We have a yes in our hearts for you. A yes in our hearts for you. I pray we would do this together like never before. I pray that in Jesus' name. Tyler's going to lead us. If you need to go, go. If you want to stay in worship while people are coming in, you're welcome to. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise this morning? We just give him a shout of praise. for your goodness, God. Thank you, Lord.